Blog Talk Radio.
1 year later, and I'm back at the United Nations here in New York City, attending and speaking at the Women's Missionary Society NGO Conference here in New York City. I'm Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I'm so glad you're listening to me. I could not have imagined or dreamed the people who are sitting around me. This is an amazing assortment of leadership, both with the African Methodist Episcopal Church and with the United Nations, with people who are doing humanitarian work that is absolutely mind-boggling. And we're just really happy that you're joining with us today. I'm going to introduce each one of our speakers one by one so that they're busy, and we're taking a lunch break right now from our conference. I was very excited to present a social media workshop this morning and then heard a remarkable presentation by a gentleman who, in a very short amount of time, put together an amazing presentation for us and then just described what has been done over the last, not 5 years, but the last 6 months, as we are approaching the seven billion people on the planet. Alvaro Serrano is with us today, and I'm going to introduce our other distinguished guest in just a few minutes, but I wanted to bring him on first to tell us more about the program that he is involved in, the 7 billion people who are on the planet. I go to census.gov all the time, so I look at the numbers, and I know that we are approaching that. But to see that this is actually a program that has been created, implemented, downloadable as well, and everybody on the planet can be a part of it. Alvaro, thank you so much for being a guest on the program.
Thank you, Carol. Actually, it has been quite interesting experience, because at some point next week, on October, at the end of October, the world will reach 7 billion people.
Wow.
It's a huge amount of number. Back in 1999, we reached 6 billion. Mm-hmm. So in 12 years, the population increased for 1 billion. Mm-hmm. So that's amazing. Mm-hmm. How that's going to be in projections in 20 years from now, 50 years from now, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing is how we do things today, how we invest in reducing poverty, how we invest for women to have rights to health, to education, things will change.
Right.
So every day, people around the world, organizations around the world, are doing something in order to change that reality. So we created an initiative. It's more than a campaign, it's an initiative, it's a movement to go back to humanity. The way we invest in human dimension has to be reviewed and tell the story. So we are telling the story of people and organizations that are doing good on a daily basis to change that reality. So that is the story. That's why 7 billion people, in a world of 7 billion people, we are counting 7 billion actions.
And again, you're story-driven. I was compelled because you want people to upload their stories, to tell their stories. There's a song that's going to debut on Sunday that is absolutely heart-wrenching and just heartwarming, should I say. So there are ways that everyday people can get involved talking about what they're doing in the community to represent the 7 billion people. Give us an example of that.
Yes, what we're looking at is for real stories from real people and real organizations that are changing the reality around the world. So through the 7billionactions.org website, you can log in and then you can submit your story. It's a story about you, it's a story about your friend, it's a story about a person that you admire, a person who is creating that dimension. So we are just telling the stories, because once you share your story, you are inspiring other people to do the same. So this initiative is not about the UN, it's not about the world 7 billion, it's about you, it's about me, it's about my family, my friends, my community, to be connected by storytelling. I remember long time ago in my life, when I was communicating with people from different countries, but we called by PayPal. So I had to write the letters and send it to this person that I didn't know that exists, and waiting 2-3 months to receive back.
Pen pals. Yes. I had a pen pal in Australia that didn't last that long when she found out I was black, but then I had one in Hawaii as well. So I know about pen pals.
So why don't we go back to that, but using the new channels? I mean, we have cell phones, we have the internet, we have And that's what we are looking, is to inspire others to make connections. Mm-hmm. And when we are connected, we are creating the realities of the world. And that's what we're calling. And there are ways to enjoy this through storytelling, through telling the photo contest, video film contest. And there is a song that is going to be released on Sunday that is called United. So the first version is being recorded in 7 different countries.
Wow.
But after Sunday, any artist, any person who wants to be part of the track, they can record it and upload it.
Oh, I mean, that just blows my mind. And it was simulcast. So the actual version that we had a sneak peek of was simulcast literally all over the world. That's absolutely amazing. I'm going to bring in, I know you may have to dash, but I just wanted to bring that in. 7billionactions.org is the website. 7billionactions.org is the website, and I would encourage everyone to go there. We're all a part of this movement, and I just thank you so very much for being a guest on my program. All right, Alvaro Serrano, and again, 7billionactions.org. Moving right along, I am, again, just honored by having the national president of the Women's Missionary Society, my missionary society, of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, newly elected Mrs. Shirley Reed, who is with us today. Hello, President Reed. Thank you so much for being a guest on my program.
Oh, thank you, Carol, for having us with you today on your program. We do salute Lorraine Dickerson and Carolyn Scavella for bringing us together. For over 23 years, we've been here in New York, being briefed every year about conditions that confront women and girls, and for your input today and your presentation on how we're going to connect this WMS together through technology, through the world of technology. So we thank you for your seminar, and it's going to make us grow, missionaries growing, and so we're going to take that back to the rest of the WMS. Thank you so much.
Very great. I just want to ask you, you have 20 districts. Literally all over the world, Americas, Africa, parts of Europe, South America. How do you do it? How are you going to capture the essence of the Women's Missionary Society's spirit as you travel around the world?
Through technology. Through technology. And I'm excited because of the fact that we do have 7 districts that are not a part of the USA, and so we're going to connect them through technology that they would never get to. Many of them would never get to a board meeting, would never get to quadrennial. But through simulcast and whatever other part of technology, we're going to bring it together. We're excited. We're going to take this back to our very first executive board meeting. We're going to make the difference, and we're going to grow the organization through technology.
Amazing. Thank you so much, President Reed. I can't wait for your plan of action, bringing the whole world together, certainly from an AME perspective, but using technology to actually do that. Moving right along, we now have my superintendent from the First Episcopal District, from the First Episcopal District of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, honored to be in her presence. Glad that she is here on my radio program, and that's Mother Mary Ann Norris. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us. And we're so happy to be here, to be engaged in such a beautiful program. We have been for 20 years in this program here at the UN. And we can't forget how we began and how we are now. We are growing, maybe not in numbers so much, but in knowledge.
Yes.
Yes. And thank you for having us on your program. And thank you for that presentation you gave us today on technology. Yes. And, of course, we'll keep the 7 million action on our agenda.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have been, Mother Norris, I mean, you have 7 conferences.
Yes.
You are very busy in your own work, family activities as well. You're going to be with us, thank goodness, for another very exciting year. What do you see as your legacy? We know Bishop Norris certainly is leaving his footprints, but what do you see as your legacy with the Women's Missionary Society and as our First Episcopal District Supervisor?
Well, missions is a part of me, and basically I'm interested in the youth. We had Adopt a Child, you know, to help youth all over the world. That is my ambition, is to help youth in any way that we can, especially in the African countries, because they're not interested in girls. And I wanted to bring that in to help. And always we help. not in Africa, but over here, overseas, at each of my missionary societies, 300 and something in the first Pacific district has an adopted child. Oh, yes, in each one.
Wow.
That's something that we ask them to do. Yes, and keep it with us, you know, and they must present, let us know, and what have you. But that was my one ambition, adopt a child, help some child, you know, that needs. Yes.
I mean, that's quite, that's a big project, and that's something that will, you plant seeds now with that project, with adopt a child. Those children grow up, and they will never forget those who have nurtured, loved them, been a part of them, outreached to them, and brought them into the fold. That's just fantastic. Thank you, Mother Mary Ann Norris and President Shirley Reed. I know you want to dash off and get something to eat now. Thank you very much for coming on the program. Appreciate that. Thank you. We're going to now bring in, we're going to have Reverend Gloria White Hammond in a minute. She's eating her lunch right now. This is a very ideal because the lunchtime is hot here. But I'm just, these are my friends. These are my buds because their vision is big. Their budgets are probably very conservative, but it does not stop them from what is important, not just for our church, but for humanity. I look at Alvaro and the remarks that he has made, the $7 billion project, and it is in alignment with the AME Church and with the representation that we are getting from these fine women of the AME Church who are our official NGO representatives living here right in the New York area, Lorraine Dickerson and Carolyn Scavella. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. We are so delighted to have you back with us again this year. Your contribution last year was extraordinary, and this year you have just gone over the top, introducing us and taking a little fear out of this technological age for those of us who are missionaries and trying to do the work. So thank you and welcome.
Thank you very much. And Lorraine.
Thank you, Carol, for being with us again this year. We appreciate the relevance that you brought to our conference. Missionaries on the Grow using social media, yay. We're excited about the opportunity to continue to share on a greater level of technology, which will help us to promote our 3E theme, mission outreach, to expand, elevate, and empower our societies. So thank you so very much for joining us again this year.
Great. I want to ask you before you go off and have your lunch and then reconvene the group for the afternoon session, which is going to be dynamic. What's it like in terms of the execution of this? You track down the guest speaker in terms of the $7 billion project. You're having to fit in lots of different pieces, but clearly looking at this from a global perspective. And for our guests who are listening, we have guests in the chat room and those who will be downloading this later on. The African Methodist Episcopal Church has always been a global church. It is African just by the nature of the timing of when it was formed in the late 1700s, but it has always been globally connected and not just germane to African Americans. We have many different ethnicities who are part of the AME Church, and that also relates to the women of the church as well. I'm excited because we have about 42 churches now in India, and so our mission is even expanding farther. So as you look at your jobs as the NGO representatives for the entire church in this conference, which is intimate but just very important in terms of the people who are here and the voices who are here, what's on the horizon in terms of planning for next year's conference and all the factors thereof, including Occupy Wall Street, which we've talked about this morning?
Well, what we normally do with our conference is to use it as a catalyst for what we call NGO programming within our district. And speaking of the $7 billion action, this is an opportunity for us to begin to engage as we go forward and working into next year our young people's vision. Mm-hmm. We think that this is an excellent venue for them to utilize technology to begin to talk about how they can occupy the space that they are in throughout the United States, as well as connectional abroad. And so beyond that, there are other issues that are of importance to us this year. We're looking at microfinancing within communities and families, finding a way to, again, elevate, expand, and empower these persons so that they can begin to have a sense of hope. And
and that actually, the microfinancing is going to be on deck, or it's going to be talked about right after lunch.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, we do have an organization who will present not only the concept of microfinancing, but the education and training that is required in order to have a successful project within the community. Persons who are actually participating in microfinancing need to have a sense of economic and accounting skills. And so the workshop later on this afternoon will be about training the trainers. And so we've tried to establish a really relevant program which can be a part of the now as we go forward into 2012.
Excellent, excellent. And Carolyn, in closing?
Well, in closing, as you stated in your opening remarks, we are a global church, and thereby our representation at the UN takes all of that into consideration. We are thrilled that the church is growing in places like India. That makes us even more global and even more relevant. Our work is not just evangelizing, which of course is part of mission, but it is also about dealing with the individual story, as Alvaro just said. It is about trying to better people's lives. We believe that full bellies and clothing and shelter from storms help the evangelistic piece. You cannot talk to someone whose stomach is growling. They can't hear. So we can fulfill that, giving clean water, providing wells in places, and doing all of those kinds of outreach projects, then we also do the work.
Outstanding. I'm excited to be a part of this again. I will be here next year and the next year and the next year because the work is important. It's relevant. It is cohesive. And for me, it speaks to what the church is supposed to be about. It's the church of today and tomorrow, obviously reflecting on our past, but using all of our resources, our contacts, our humanitarian connection as women and as children of God, should I say, in a really relevant way. Lorraine Dickerson and Carolyn Scavella, thank you so much for being guests on my program again.
Thank you. And you do have an invitation for next year. So you have all of those bloggers out there to hold us to that.
Get the word. Thank you, and have a good lunch, too. I'll join you shortly. All righty. Well, the ladies are having lunch, and we're going to bring up our last but definitely not our least guest here. I've known her for over 20 years. I have more respect for her every single day because of what she does in the greater Boston area. The 20 trips she has made to the Sudan, the work that she has done, the risks that she has made, and the remarkable work as the executive director of My Sister's Keeper, as the co-pastor of Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church, my church in Boston. And when she walked in today, we didn't know we were both going to be on the same program, so it was supposed to happen. It was just supposed to happen. Reverend Gloria Whitehaven, thank you so much for being, again, a guest on my program.
Thank you, Carol. It's always a delight to be in your company. I always learn something more. I get more energized and more determined to press on.
Great, great. Where are we now? Sudan, July 9th, I believe, became South Sudan, became our newest country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Much of your work is in that area, Darfur as well.
Mm-hmm.
You were over there shortly before, I believe, they became independent, and obviously the school that you are helping to fundraise for, manage, is in operations. Give us an update of what's taking place in the Sudan.
Sure. Well, now we say Sudan and South Sudan, and you're absolutely right. And now South Sudan, as of July 9th, 2011, became independent. They're very excited about that independence and are making moves rapidly to begin the hard, hard work of development. There's still a number of challenges for almost any parameter you can think of. South Sudan is at the very bottom in terms of net enrollment in school, the very bottom in terms of infant mortality, the very bottom in terms of sanitation and hygiene, and certainly with a new governance, a government that has not had much experience in much, much need of support. Nevertheless, we're very excited about the contribution that we will be making to that development. The big challenge, though, is that even though there is a fragile peace in South Sudan, in the Sudan that from which they come, there is still tremendous instability, and the kind of conflict that South Sudan experienced for more than two decades is now being manifest in Darfur. The peace talks in Darfur and Western Sudan are stalled. The states along the border between what is now Northern Sudan and South Sudan have been at conflict. The Khartoum-based government has begun attacking them. We have satellite evidence of ethnic cleansing in a number of those border regions, Abyei, South Kordofan State, where we were just 9 months ago, and Blue Nile State. So there is still a great deal of need to pay attention to the crisis in Sudan and between North and South Sudan, and still much room for advocacy.
When South Sudan became a country, what I heard, and please educate me and our listeners too, that they were going to be codependent, where South Sudan was still going to need North Sudan or Sudan, and vice versa. I know that there's oil involved, and I believe the refinery is in South Sudan. Explain that to us.
Sure. You're absolutely correct. There is oil in South Sudan, and that was one of the factors that, of course, fueled the conflict and the duration of the conflict. Most of the oil is in South Sudan. However, the pipelines that take the oil to Northern Sudan, Port Sudan, where it will then be refined, are in North Sudan. So that is why there needs to be some sharing. But at the end of the day, the oil is in the south, and they are looking to build pipelines that will go north into Kenya and into Mombasa, but those aren't built right now. So that remains a point of real contention to how they're going to how the South will certainly get the bulk of the revenues, but what kinds of fees will they pay the North to move that oil out? It was also true that the bulk of commerce in North Sudan, that they don't export that much. Much of what they made went into South Sudan, and much of what the Southerners needed came from North Sudan. Well, those trade lines have been interrupted now, and so the Northerners are really struggling because they are they don't have anyone to the Southerners aren't buying their goods, and the Southerners are struggling because the foodstuffs and the equipment that they would be getting from the North is not going in. So there's tremendous disruption in commerce between both of the countries.
So again, I'm looking at the whole piece of infrastructure, which we take for granted in this country, which is extremely critical and very important there, and certainly the role of My Sister's Keeper. I wanted to, in a minute or so, share with us the work that you're doing with My Sister's Keeper in now South Sudan.
Well, we have what we call two pathways to peace, sustainable peace. We have our educational pathway. We support a girls' school, 500 primary school girls in a small rural village in South Sudan, in Akan. We also support a women's literacy project for a couple hundred women. 92% of women in South Sudan cannot read, so that literacy project is extremely important. But our third project continues to be the peace-building work, what we call Sisterhood for Peace, because women still realize that until there's peace in northern Sudan and South Sudan and between North and South Sudan, there really can't be authentic peace anywhere. So women are still working very tenaciously, collaborating to make sure that there is peace everywhere.
And give us the website for My Sister's Keeper in case someone wants to find out more about your organization and certainly donate to your organization.
Absolutely. You can donate online. It is Ms. Keeper, M for my, S for sister, Keeper, KEEPER.org.
Great. Reverend Gloria White Hammond, a tremendous woman. Even this summer, my brother had his daughter's wedding, was saying, "That woman is just amazing." And you continue to be. Thank you so much for being a guest on my program. Thank you so much. We want to bring up our last guest before we go off the air, and I'm going to ask her to come on in the back so we can talk about microfinancing. Again, this is a treasure chest of a show. We're hoping that you will tell your friends to download this show, make it a favorite, because you're learning firsthand about some of the most important projects that we have coming out of the United Nations and coming out of large and small non-governmental organizations throughout the United States and beyond. We are going to talk now with our last guest before we go off the air, and this is all on microfinancing. And I'm meeting her for the first time, and she is Aza Karam.
No.
This is Julie Lee. Ah, Julie Lee. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm very glad. Tell us very quickly about your presentation, about microfinancing, and the impact that it's having on those who are benefiting from it.
Okay, sure. My organization is Microfinance Opportunities, and we are based in Washington, D.C., and we are a micro-enterprise resource center that promotes client-led microfinance. And so by that, we mean that through research and education, we look at how low-income clients can best manage their money and manage it effectively so that they can reach their goals.
Now, is it microfinancing for people in the United States or in developing countries?
Yes. So we work in developing countries, and we have programs going on right now in Africa, Asia, and Latin America.
And Julie, what area seems to be up and coming in terms of the return on the investment that you're seeing from, I would assume, women who are starting businesses or others who are starting businesses? Can you just sort of highlight one particular area that is exceptionally doing a great job in terms of benefiting from the microfinancing program?
I do want to clarify that Microfinance Opportunities, our name is a little bit of a misleading in the sense that we do not actually deliver microfinance. Mm-hmm. What we do is we help microfinance organizations, MFIs, institutions, to work with them to educate their customers on how to best manage their money at the individual and household level.
Great. That's a great clarification, and then we'll learn more about the work that you're doing in a few minutes after lunch when you have a chance to share with us about your project and your organization. So, Julie Lee, that was just a little teaser for what is going to come. Thank you so much for being a guest on my program.
Appreciate that.
All right. Take care now. This has been an amazing hour just to have the kind of guests who have been on, the projects that they're working on, just an extraordinary opportunity for you to learn, for people out there, to learn about the work that is going on. It doesn't always make the headlines, doesn't always make the 6 o'clock news or the 11 o'clock news, but rest assured, there are some great things taking place. There are great organizations that are doing wonderful and amazing work, like the 7 billion actions.org that we talked about earlier with Alvaro, with My Sister's Keeper, and the work that they have continued to do for now 10 plus years. With Reverend Gloria White Hammond, and now Julie Lee, who is the training officer for finance education at Microfinance Opportunities, and certainly these hardy and feisty and savvy women of the Women's Missionary Society of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be off next week because we're going to bring the 5th Multicultural Conference to Boston.
And we'll tell you more about that when we return in November. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much for listening to the show.